This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called 40 Days of Prayer. In these teachings, you'll learn how to cultivate a powerful prayer life and experience breakthroughs in your relationship challenges, financial difficulties, bad habits, health crises, and many other areas of your life. Don't miss a single day of this life-changing series. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to tell you how to grow a deeper, more vibrant prayer life with the amazing 40 Days of Prayer DVD study with workbook. This six-part study featuring Pastor Rick is perfect for your personal Bible study or for use with your small group. And you can take a sneak peek by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's broadcast. That's PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called A Beginner's Guide to Prayer.
And number two, write this down. Prayer is a relationship, not a ritual. Prayer is a relationship, not a ritual. It's all about getting close to God. It's all about talking to God and becoming acquainted with God and getting to know God and letting you learn more about Him. If prayer is boring for you, it's because you don't understand the point of it. Let me say it again. If you're bored by prayer, it's because you don't understand the point. And you're talking about all the wrong things. You're talking about things you think you ought to talk about, and it becomes a duty, it becomes a drudgery, and then it comes, I should pray, I have to pray, I ought to pray. And friends, once you get in that trap, you're not going to want to pray. Because guilt motivation only lasts about as long as the guilt does. God doesn't want you feeling guilty about prayer. He loves to talk to you. He loves to listen to you talk to Him. Guilt has nothing to do with it. It's not a duty. It's a privilege. I get to talk to the Creator of the universe, and He wants to listen. What an amazing truth that is. And not only is it amazing that He wants to listen, but He is interested in everything that I'm interested in. So I can talk to Him about anything. God, had a bad day today at work. This didn't happen. God, I really like this team. I really want them to win, but they're probably not going to win. But I can talk to you about it anyway. You can talk to God about anything. Nothing is off limits because God loves it when you talk to Him about anything. That's the first law of prayer, the first principle or pillar of prayer. Number two, here's the second foundational truth. God listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. God listens to the prayers that are sincere and simple. You don't have to use flowery language. You don't have to use fancy phrases. You don't have to sound spiritual. You don't have to use religious cliches. You just talk to God. The only condition is that it is sincere. That means it comes from the heart. And it's simple. It's authentic. It's real. It's gutsy. It's honest. You pray about what you feel like praying about, not what you think you ought to pray about. And it's just simple and it is sincere. And you don't get up and start addressing God, "Oh, thou great potentate of the universe, thou who dost wonderfully bestow on us all manners of beseeched blessings." And God's going, "Huh? First, why are you talking to me in 200-year-old English? I'm not from England." God is not from England. You don't have to sound like Shakespeare, okay? God understands every language. He understands lingo, slang. He knows it all. He invented it all. And so you just come to God, "Hey, God, it's me." Sometimes the simplest prayer is the most powerful prayer. You know, when you're hungry, you know, we get all these cliches and we get all these rituals. We learn from other people and then we just use them like that's what we're supposed to say. Like you sit down to eat your dinner and you say, "Bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies and our bodies to thy service. Bless the gift and the giver." Where'd you get that? Oh, you learned it from somebody else. It'd be a whole lot better to go, God, I'm hungry right now. And this taco smells really good. And my salivary glands are, so this is gonna be short, Lord. But thank you for fast food. Amen. God likes that prayer a whole lot better than bless the gift and the giver and bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies and our bodies to your service. Okay. You know, the simplest, God, thank you, thank you, thank you for In-N-Out. Amen. Okay, all right. Just, it doesn't have to be super spiritual sounding. God hears, listens to the prayers that are sincere and simple. They're real, they're gutsy, they're honest. And when you don't feel good, God, I don't feel like talking to you right now. That's a prayer. God, I'm mad at you. That's a prayer. God, I don't get it. I prayed for this and it hasn't happened. That's a prayer. God just wants you to be honest. If you don't understand this, go read the Psalms. One third of the Psalms, 50 of the Psalms, of the 150 Psalms, are called Psalms of Lament. They're complaints. They're complaints to God. God, I've been asking you for this job and it hadn't showed up. I'm still out of work. I need some help here. When you say it like that, it's honest, it's authentic, it's real. God loves prayers that are sincere and simple, not the phony baloney stuff that you encounter at all of the religious jargon. Have you ever heard, of course you have, people who pray a prayer and they've got one request, but then they say it about nine different ways because they think that longer is stronger. And you're going, man, land the plane, buddy. You know? You're just saying the same thing over and over and over in a fresh way, or not even a fresh way, in a boring way. If somebody out on the patio says, I'm going into surgery tomorrow, the prayer can simply be, Lord, my friend's going into surgery tomorrow. Would you help them? Help the doctors, not make any mistakes, give them a quick recovery, have a minimal pain. I'm asking you this in Jesus' name. Boom. You don't have to go into a 20-minute lecture on the value of the hospital and find a bunch of other verses. Just say what you want to say. Would you write this down? Longer is not stronger in prayer. Simple, sincere, humble, authentic. Those kind of prayers, God's much more interested in those kind of prayers than the long-winded, stem-winding sermon in a sentence and sermon in a prayer where you go on and on and on and on. No, you don't need to do that. Longer is not stronger. Just get to the point. Now, Jesus had a lot to say about praying sincerely, just honestly from your gut, and simply without trying to sound super spiritual. Let me just show you one passage. We'll come back to this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 to 8 is out of the famous Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is talking about prayer. And here's what Jesus says. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. In other words, for them, prayer is, performance. It's performance art. You know, watch me pray, everybody. I'm really going to impress you with this one. Okay, get ready. Whew, buckle up. I'm going to pray a good prayer. Here we go. And they're not praying to God. They're just showing off. He says, when you pray, don't be like hypocrites who pray just to be seen by men. I tell you the truth. They have received their reward in full. In other words, they're not going to get any more reward than that. Just the praise they got from somebody who thought they were impressed by it. I tell you the truth. He says, instead, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. In other words, openly. And when you pray, he says, don't keep babbling on and on and on and on and on like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Longer is not stronger. Do not be like them. This is Jesus talking. For your Father knows what you need even before you ask. So he goes, it's not like you got to convince God. He already knows what you need. Just come to him and simply and as honestly and as humbly as you can say and talk about what you need. Now, that passage right there is literally loaded. We could spend about 2 hours unpacking it, but let me just summarize it for you. He says three or four things. He says, first, don't use prayer to show off. And we've all seen people do that. They go, I got a good one. Watch this. It'll blow everybody away. Whoo, here it comes. Okay. You knocked that one out of the park, man. Don't use prayer to show off to impress other people. You don't get any credit for that kind of prayer, and God doesn't even listen to that kind of prayer. He says, instead, be sincere. Don't spout off cliches. And sometimes, because we're afraid of our prayers being too short, we just start adding in filler things. You don't need to add in filler. And by the way, you know what one of the favorite fillers of Christians today is? The word just. We use it like, It's like, Lord, we just want to thank you today, and we just are here today to praise you because just, you're great. You're just wonderful, and just thank you, just God. And so just now we praise the Lord. I just want to pray. Just. It's like going, You know, you can take out all the just out of your prayer. You don't need to say just. It's empty filler. You say, God, nice day. Thanks for making this one. I'll talk to you in another 3 seconds. You don't have to have a run-on conversation. You can just pick it up where you are in another minute. Keep talking to God later on. Be sincere. Don't spout cliches. Keep it simple. Adding words to your prayer doesn't make it any stronger. Stay humble or you'll stumble. Or as I always tell pastors, remember the lesson of the whale. When you get to the top and you're ready to blow, that's when they harpoon you. Now, we're going to come back to this during 40 days of prayer. The bottom line is this next verse, Hebrews 10, 22. Let us come near to God with a sincere heart and a sure faith. Okay, there are the two qualifications, sincerity and simplicity, sincere heart and sure faith. Sincere heart means, God, I'm not going to talk to you about what I'm not interested in. I'm going to talk to you about, well, the way I really feel. You already know the way I feel. I just need to spout it out to you. I just need to confess it to you. I just need to talk about what I'm feeling right now. I'm upset. I'm nervous. I'm worried. I'm afraid. I'm confused. God, just talk to God about whatever you're feeling. Sincere heart and then a sure faith. We come to God with confidence. We're not afraid to talk to him. We're not embarrassed to talk to him. We're not hesitant to talk to him. We're not ashamed to talk to him. Why? He's a loving father who loves to listen to us talk to him. He loves to listen to you more than anybody else in the entire world. And so we come to him with a sure faith. We come to him with confidence. All right? So those are the first two pillars. Here's pillar number three. First, God's love for me. God loves for me to talk to him really about anything, whatever I'm interested in. And God listens to prayers that are simple and sincere. Sincere and simple. Number three, third pillar. God likes to show his grace by answering prayer. God is a good God. He's a good father. He's a gracious father. He's a compassionate and loving father. And God loves to answer prayer because he gets to show what he's really like. Everything in the universe comes from the generosity of God. No one is more generous than God. And when you pray and you ask for something in prayer, you make a request, or a petition, one of the words it's called, it gives God the opportunity to show what he's really like. So God loves it when you ask requests. Over 20 times in the New Testament, we are commanded to ask. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. You have not because you ask not. If you ask anything in my name, over 20 times, if you are a child of God, you're commanded to ask God for things. Why? God gets to show how good he is. He gets to show how gracious he is, how loving he is, how generous he is. And with every answer that God gives to your prayer, it shows that he is a good, good God. Listen, regardless of the answer. You don't get an answer yes to every prayer you pray. You know that from experience. But even when the answer is no, even when the answer is not yet, God is a good, good father. Question. Do you know any parent in the entire world that gives a child everything that child asks for? Of course not. They would ruin that child. There are dozens and dozens of reasons why parents do not give their children everything they ask for. And there are dozens and dozens of good reasons why God doesn't say yes to everything you ask for. You may not understand why, but you're not God. And there are dozens of reasons. Sometimes God says no for our protection. Sometimes God says no for our direction, to direct us in a different place. Sometimes God says no for our correction, to correct us on course. Sometimes God says no for our perfection, to help us grow in our character. Sometimes God says no for our inspection. He looks inside of us and helps us see what we couldn't see before. A child that got everything they asked for would be spoiled rotten. God's much more interested in your character than he is your comfort. He loves you too much to say yes to everything. God is not a vending machine. Or you just put in the prayer and you pull it and you get whatever. A vending machine will give you stuff that's bad for you. And so God says, I didn't say I'd answer every way you want it, but I will answer. I mean, people say, well, God, you didn't answer me. And God says, yes, I did. I just said no. That was an answer. No. You see, when you pray, there are always four possible answers to your prayer. Always four possible answers to your prayer. God always answers every prayer. And the four answers he gives are either yes, no, not yet, and you gotta be kidding me. And you have prayed some of those requests that God's going, you got to be kidding me. You're asking for that? Come on. A child, a baby doesn't know the difference between no and yet. Not yet. Maturity is when you realize that God's delays are not always God's denials. And a lot of times God says, oh, I have every intention of giving this to you, just not yet. You're not ready for it. And before I can give you the solution, you got to have the growth in character. Because I'm going to give something far bigger than you're asking for. There's a difference between no and not yet. And maturity knows the difference. But God always answers and he shows his grace, he shows his goodness, whether the answer is yes or no or not yet. Jeremiah 33:3 says this. God says, call to me and I will answer you. And I will show you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. I love that in the Message translation. Never could figure out. Sometimes God's answer is a bigger perspective. Sometimes you ask for something and God goes, you have no idea what you're asking for. That's not really what you want. I know what you want more than what you want. You want to be happy. That will not make you happy. You think it's going to make you happy, but it won't. And so I'm going to give you a bigger perspective. Call to me and I'll answer you. And my answer will not be the yes. My answer will be, I will show you things you could never figure out on your own. And you get a bigger perspective. And you're looking back, you go, oh, now I'm so glad. As Garth Brooks sang, thank God for unanswered prayers. Some of the prayers, if you'd gotten them answered, it would have been a disaster in your life. And so God doesn't answer. God, it will only give you what is good. Vending machine will give you something bad. God will only give you what is good in your life. Matthew 7, verse 11, Jesus says, if you, being imperfect and sinful parents, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? That's kind of obvious. God's a perfect Father. He's only going to give you good things, but he wants to give you stuff you haven't even imagined. And as the next verse says, James 4:2, you do not have because you do not ask. That's going to be a theme verse that we're going to look at for all 40 days in this campaign. When you don't pray, there are a lot of things you miss out in life. When you get to heaven, there will be a list of all the things that you missed out on because you never asked for them. You have not because you ask not. God's not just going to give it to you. He wants you to learn to talk to him. He wants you to learn the language of prayer, and he wants you to learn to grow up. All right? So the foundational pillars about prayer. God loves for me to talk to him about anything that's on my mind. Doesn't have to be spiritual. Conversation, it's not a ceremony, it's conversation. I listen and I speak. It's a relationship, not a ritual. And God listens to prayers that are sincere and simple, and he loves to show his goodness by answering his prayer. Now, here's the fourth truth, and this is the biggest one of all. This is huge. If you get this, you really understand it, it's going to radically change your life. And I don't mean just intellectually get it, but you actually feel it. Because when you feel it, it's going to change the way you look at everything. Money, sex, time, job, past, present, future. Number four, the fourth truth on which all prayer is built is this. God longs to be close to me. God longs to be close to me. He desires it. He wants it deeply. He wants to be close to you. He wants you to be close to him. You know, if you're away from somebody that you love for a long, long time, you can't wait to talk to them. God can't wait for you to talk to him. He loves you so, so very much. He longs to be close to you. He's waiting to talk to you. He's waiting for you to talk to him. And he's not busy. He's not like, can you hold the phone? All circuits are busy. Can you call back later? I'll get back in touch. No, no. He's longing to be close to you. It is a privilege to be close to God. He's got a 24-hour drop-in system. He's never offline. You can talk to him any moment of the day, any second of the day. Isaiah 30, verse 18 is a verse you ought to write down on a little white card, put it in your visor, and memorize it. It says this, "The Lord waits for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion." Did you know that? Did you know that every day that you go without prayer, without reading God's word, without spending time with God, God is waiting for you? You were made for this. You were made to know God. You were made for a relationship, for a fellowship. And he's waiting. The Lord waits for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. It's the whole reason you exist. Some of you are parents, and you know the unique pain of a child that can't talk to you. And that's a heartache. You love that child deeply, but for whatever reason, a physical reason, a brain reason, an emotional reason, they can't talk to you. And it breaks your heart. Because you love that child so, so very much, but they haven't learned the language. They can't talk to you. You can't have a conversation with them. And it hurts as a parent when you love them and they can't talk to you. And others of you, you've been a parent of a child who they can talk to you, but they won't. And they don't. And they've shut you out of their lives at this point. And the ache in your heart is great because you long to talk to them and you long to just listen to them. And you long for the phone call. And it hurts you because they can talk, but they won't. And they don't. That's the way God feels about you. When you don't talk to him, when you go a day or days or weeks and you haven't spent any time alone with God, God, just you and me, a few minutes here, let's check it in. Here's what's on my heart. Here's what I'm feeling. Here's what I need. I love you. I don't understand this. And whatever's on your heart, my doubts, my fears, my gripes, my highs, my lows, it's like a parent going, why won't you talk to me? I created you. I love you. I want a relationship with you. And your kid turns around and walks away. Don't do that to God. Don't do that to your Father in heaven, the God who created you. You see, God designed you for a relationship. The only reason you're alive is God made you to love you. If God didn't want to love you, you wouldn't exist. You weren't put on this planet to mark things off your to-do list. You were put on this planet to be loved by God and to learn to love him back. He made you to love you. You were chosen to be his child. You were formed for his family. You were created for companionship. He made you to love you. The Bible is full of examples of people who had a, quote, close relationship to God. The Bible says Enoch, a man named Enoch, had a close relationship to God. The Bible says Noah had a close relationship to God. The Bible says Job had a close relationship to God. The Bible says a guy named Hezekiah, who was a king, was closer to God than any king that ever lived. God wants you to be close. He longs to be close to you. He longs for you to be close to him. Listen to the passion in this next verse. This is God talking to you. I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. Can you feel that passion? The longing that God has for you. I just want you to know me. I know everything about you, God says. Good, bad, and ugly. Nothing can make me stop loving you. I want you to know me. I love you. No one will ever love you. No man, no woman will ever love you like God does. No one will ever love you like God does. God wants you to learn to love him back. He wants you to be able to receive his love. He wants to just listen to you talk about what's interesting to you. He wants to have a friendship and a companionship and a relationship with you. One of the most amazing verses in the Bible is one that I honestly cannot fathom. I cannot fully understand it. It's John 15:15. And in John 15:15, Jesus says this. Look up here. Jesus says, I don't call you servants. I call you my friends. Are you kidding me? God wants to be your friend. God wants you to be his friend. Jesus says, I call you my friends. The creator of the universe, the God who died on the cross says, I want you to be my friend. I made you to be my friend. Are you kidding me? That's not about ritual. It's not about regulation. It's not about rules. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about friendship. God says, I call you my friends. Wow. You were formed for a friendship with God. And if you miss that, you miss the purpose of your existence. Sorry, you just blew your life. Because you were not put on this planet to make money, retire, and die. You were put on this planet to have a relationship with God that lasts for eternity. Do not miss the purpose of your existence. Why are we doing 40 days of prayer? Because there is nothing more important than your life and your life getting in harmony with God's life and you having the relationship that you were created for, that you were designed for, a close fellowship with God. Job says, in the prime of my life, God was my best friend. Is God your best friend? You got to learn the language. You got to learn how to pray. He's waiting. He's longing. He wants to be close. God says, I love you so much, it hurts. You're going to just nonchalantly walk away. Well, that's nice. Sorry, I got to go see a movie tonight. I'm hungry. I'm going to go out to dinner. That's nice that God loves me that much, but forget you, God. Really? Friends, what we're talking about, there's nothing more important in your life than for you having a fellowship and a friendship and actually having a relationship. A lot of people know about God, but getting to know God. Jesus Christ is my best friend. I've walked with him for 50 years. I know him better than I know any of you. And I want you to know, he wants you to know him like I know him. He wants you to feel his love like I feel it. He wants you to be able to hear his voice like I hear God's voice. God wants you to know. That's why we're doing 40 days. You don't miss anything in this. You get in a group. You don't miss a weekend. You read the devotionals. You do all the stuff we've been preparing a year to help teach you about this. Don't just walk away casually and say, well, that's nice to know. How do I get closer to God? Well, there's two ways. Two ways you get closer. You desire it, You might write this down. How do you get closer to God? Desire it and make time for it. That's the only way you're going to get closer to God. If you feel far from God, guess who moved? God didn't move. The only way you get close to God is to desire it and to make time for it. And that's the next two verses. Psalm 25, verse 14. Friendship with God. Wow, what a phrase. Would you like friendship with God? Friendship with God is reserved. In other words, not everybody gets to be a friend of God. Friendship with God is reserved for those who reverence him. They make time for him. And with them, he shares the secrets of his covenant. God shares secrets with you when you make time for him that he doesn't share with everybody else. That's friendship with God. And James 4:8, you got to desire it. Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. That's a promise. Now, in the days ahead, the next 40 days, we're going to learn how to do that. How do you draw close to God? And God will draw close to you. And you're going to learn all the benefits. And I'm going to go into all the benefits, but let me just leave you with one, okay? Just write this down. One benefit. There's dozens of benefits of getting closer to God, but just give you one. The closer I am to God, the less stressed and more blessed I'll be. The closer I am to God, the less stressed and the more blessed I'll be. So we need to sing and pray, Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you, for I desire to worship and obey. Now, the entire purpose of the next 40 days is to deepen your friendship with God. You need to know him better. You need to know him closer. He is waiting. He is longing for you to get to know him. He is waiting for you to talk to him about anything you're interested in, and nothing's off limits. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray a simple prayer and a sincere prayer. I want the people that are here to know you better. I want them to fall in love with you the way you love them. I want them to know you the way I know you. And I ask you to take these words to touch their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so thankful that you've chosen to spend some time with us. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions that we didn't have time for today, just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be right back to close out our time today, but first, well, we all know that life doesn't always go as planned. There are obstacles, barriers, and uncertainty, but God has made a way for you to handle these things. It's called prayer. In his 6-part 40 Days of Prayer DVD study kit, Pastor Rick offers deep insight on how to cultivate a powerful prayer life. Here's Rick to tell you more.
I've put together a brand new 6-part Bible study. It's called 40 Days of Prayer. Now, the 6 sessions in this study are, first, we talk about the purpose of prayer. You have to understand why prayer works before you can understand how prayer works. Then we're going to talk about how to pray in a crisis. If you're in a crisis, get this material right now, because you need to know there are kinds of prayers in the Bible that God says you need to pray this kind of prayer in a crisis. Then in the 3rd part, we're going to talk about praying and fasting for a breakthrough. If you've never learned to fast and you've never learned how to pray a breakthrough prayer, this will be eye-opening to you. Jesus once said of someone who needed a miracle, this kind happens only through prayer and fasting. I want to teach you how to pray a breakthrough prayer. If you need a breakthrough in your life, this is important. And then we're going to talk about talking to your Heavenly Father. You're not talking to some impersonal force in the sky. It's all about relationship. And finally, we talk about how do you be persistent in prayer. We often pray for a while, and then we start and we stutter and sputter, and then we give up.
And yet Jesus said, you have to always pray and not give up. And you know what? In your life, you're always doing one or the other. You're either praying persistently or you're giving up. If you're not praying persistently, you're giving up. If you are praying persistently, you're not giving up. So this is the key to not giving up. Now, this study on 40 days of prayer is going to show you that really prayer is about a relationship, not fancy formulas. It's about getting to know God on a personal basis and realizing how deeply He wants to hear you talk to Him, and He wants to talk to you back. You'll stop worrying and you'll start trusting more. You'll pray with more confidence. You'll claim His promises and you'll see answers to your prayer. So join me and a lot of other Daily Hope listeners all over the world as we unite together. We'll be praying with you and for you. You'll be praying as we spend 40 days in learning how to pray consistently and persistently and effectively and expectantly and successfully. Get this resource. You can only get it through Daily Hope. God bless you.
Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of the 40 Days of Prayer DVD study kit. Or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.